Morning, church.
How you going? Hey, 1, 2, 3, all eyes on me. Okay, woo, good. Look how much people love to listen. Well, good morning. We're going to jump straight into sermon because one of the things we wanted to do a little bit differently today was wanted to just spend some time with God in worship, in a space of response to what we feel like God's calling us to. I'm finishing off this series that we've been in for November, looking at who we feel like God's called us to be in this life-giving family, to this pointing towards Jesus and being part of his kingdom as a church together. And these three value statements, these three value words that we want to uphold and think about how we do this, in that we belong to one another and to Jesus. We embody Christ and we contribute. This is how we are church. This is how we are together. And today, as you can see down this wonderful, garden installation, to remind us about where our faith offering's going. We want to be thankful to what God has done and shown us this year, but we're using that to shape that space outside and obviously the working bee. And we've heard already, I think, parts of the way that we're wanting to embody these value statements in helping our young people. The kids have gone out to, what have they gone to do? Cook for who? Our community. Yeah. So that idea of giving and contributing to the life, that doesn't matter what age, we all have something to give, don't we? We've all got, and that is the way that we belong and embody the gospel. Oh, this sermon done. I should just walk away. Oh no, he's got lots more to say. But yeah, you'll get a chance later on in the service to give your faith offering and for us to think about how we personally give to that space. Catherine spoke about belonging and how we belong in that way of, and she talked about that verses about you are the vine. Oh, we are the branches, or God said the other way around. He is the vine, we are the branches, that we abide in him. Catherine talked about that idea. Kat spoke last week about embodying and brought up Romans 12. I think wonderful verses, personally some of my favourite verses in the Bible about how we go about this expression. When we've experienced God, when we've had that moment for ourselves of knowing who God is, and his love and his grace and his mercy, what does this life look like? How do we now do life? And I wanted to pick up a couple of things from that, because I think that Kat did speak into how we contribute. She gave some practical ideas about who we want to be in the church. How has Jesus transformed you to be more like him? This is the work that starts in that space when we experience God. Yeah. The work of Jesus in our life is reflected through our words, our attitudes, and our actions, values, priorities. These are the things that Kat spoke about. And this is the message version. I want to remind us of what it says. I think the words, you've probably heard the NIV version and know that well, in view of God's mercy and being a living sacrifice. But I like the practical words in this. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to walk, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't be so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it even without thinking. I want to pick up that. I love the way the message phrases this. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Kat brought out these practical ideas about when we're a life-giving family, what can it look like? How can we contribute to one another? We can speak the truth in love. Oh. And share the good news of Jesus. can pray for one another and support one another in our spiritual journeys. Essentially, discipleship. We'll be positive and uplifting and encouraging, and we won't gossip. Wow, it's a simple phrase. Who finds this one? Me too. We'll be kind and caring. Giving, we'll give of our time. We'll share life together. We'll share our material and financial resources with one another. We'll show up and be present. We'll take help. We will help to take the trash out and do the dishes. Help with those annoying jobs no one wants to do. I like how she actually named the specifics there. You reckon Kat's trying to say something to me? I mean you? I wanted to pick up this idea. I think it's really important for us to start, because when we start talking about the idea of contribute, it can make it feel like it's obligation or it's you need to do. And I think the mistakes that communities and churches at time have made people feel like they have to or they're burdened to. And I want to apologise for that, because that's not, definitely not my intention. Hopefully you guys know me well enough to know that. And I want to ask forgiveness when that's been, if that's ever been a feeling, or whenever churches in general have made people feel like that. That's actually antithesis of against God. I think it's opposite to God's heart. Because in view of God's mercy, he's saying, because you know of God's love and mercy and grace for you, you want to show that. Yeah, that's the attitude of gratitude. That's the understanding that I'm only doing this because I've experienced it. I've experienced that I'm a child of God. What does that mean? I belong. And so I want to help belong. I've experienced forgiveness, so I want to forgive. I've experienced love, so I want to love. I've experienced all that it is, so I want to show this. So it's not about gratitude. It's about gratitude, not obligation. I think that's a really important place, and that's where that Romans 12 verse starts, in view of God's mercy. How do we become? I think there's a mistake, big words on screen, but I think there's been a mistake in Protestantism that we've thrown out some things that existed before because we've wanted to get our thinking right. And that's a noble idea. It is important for us to think about God in the right way. But then we don't think about how we do in the right way. Yeah? How do we transform? Quite often it's by the way that we do, not just the way that we think. We actually sometimes transform by the way that we do. Sometimes we make choices to start a rhythm in our lives and it actually shapes who we are. And it transforms us to be more like Jesus. Because we make choices. That sounds, again, the opposite to grace. But I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not talking about whose we belong to. I'm talking about once you understand this and you belong, how do we live this life? And God would say, as you do, you'll come to know more about who I am and you'll start to embody the fruits of the Spirit. With God helping you, coming back to that message version, God helping you. This is the Holy Spirit in us. When we say yes to him, his Holy Spirit lives in us and he'd ask us to work together with him in partnership. This idea of orthopraxis is right doing, not just right thinking, but right doing. You know, the Jewish religion, the Jewish understanding quite often was orientate yourself right, get your feet right. Yeah, idea of a compass, your true north, set yourself up, start doing, and that will shape you. And in fact, it's essentially what monks have done throughout the ages, following the hours. Follow a rhythm, and you'll find who Jesus is. And sometimes we've lost that, because that sounds like discipline and hard work. And someone who really in their life has pushed against that at times, I've realized I've missed part of what God's called me to. I wanted to talk about this because I'm sort of talking about embodying. I'm sort of talking about who we belong to. These things can only happen is how we can get to contribute. These ideas can't be separated in some way. We've separated them into three sermons for me to just talk to you about how do you contribute. But really, like I said, contribute is about belonging. How do actually people start belonging together? It's not only just that people make them feel like they belong. Usually people feel belonging if they're actually part of the family. How do you make someone part of the family? They do stuff for one another. Yeah? And how do you actually embody it, live it out? That's obvious, isn't it? It's obviously the same thing. I do want to talk about this idea that hopefully all of us have been in this space where we've experienced Jesus for ourselves. We've had that time where we've realized that we belong, we're his children, that we're in his care, that we've known something of his love, we've known something of his grace, that he realized that he is there for us. And hopefully that has changed our perspective on realizing actually me living the way I want is not working. I know for me personally that was the experience that I had in choosing God, even though I've told this story a number of times before. I didn't feel like I actually believed in God. I asked my mate Scott, I want what you have, tell me what to do. I'm not sure I believe in God, but just tell me what to do. So he led me a prayer to ask God forgiveness for the things that I'd done wrong, and that was easy because I knew I'd done plenty of that. And the way that I was choosing to live my life wasn't working. Yeah, so that was easy to go, okay, I'll try something different. Started to see the world differently. But maybe my way and my selfish way doesn't work. God calls us into that space. When we've experienced that, he calls us into something, and I remember feeling that too, of being a part of something bigger than ourselves. And we're called to this mission. But what is it? What is it? Matthew says, this is what Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Wow. How much do I contribute? Seems like everything. Yeah. Seems like Jesus is saying, how much? It all. And I remember early on in my Christian walk, I definitely, probably because the experience of sensing that God actually loves me, I was ready just to give it all up. I was ready to go, man, my way sucked. Let's do this. You can have it all. And you say those nice things. Obviously, it gets hard, doesn't it? Obviously, you're constantly pulling that back. But that's the heart of what Jesus would say, not for him, but for us. Too often, I think, as churches, I think this is the mistake that sometimes as a church makes, is it seems like we give up for the church. So when I say that word, you probably think of the service, the building, the institution, the people up in that office up there. But what do I mean when I say, actually, the church? What do I mean when I say the church, that we give up for the church? Actually, it's the group of people. If Jesus was asked, show me the church, he wouldn't give an address. He wouldn't point to a building. He'd point to you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. It's the group of us together. We aren't alone. Remember, we talked about in Romans before about the culture. Don't be so ingrained in the culture that you just be shaped by that without thinking. Our culture is telling us that you do you. Yeah, what you believe, you're okay by yourself. Just do you. You do you. Your truth, live your truth. Do it by yourself. Yeah. It's okay to think the way you think, do what you do, because that's what's obviously best for you. And we're all shaped by that. I know in my own mind I think of that sometimes. But it's not actually the gospel that Jesus talks about. That actually the way that we can express the fullness of all that we can only be done through his church. The church is the hope of the world, not the institution, not the service. It's not a service that's the hope of the world. Guess what Jesus said? It's you and me. Scary and exciting all at the same time, isn't that? That not me by myself, but we can be the hope of the world. Because he has called us to make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, to do, to contribute, to live it out. Can't do that alone. We can't live it out alone. Yeah? Because we are family. We've talked about this before in the meta-narrative of the story. God called a family to show his love to the world, Abraham and his family. He called a family, the Israelites, to be light to the world. And he's called us as church to be family. The way we interact together is how we show who God is. Now, I think it's interesting holding these two verses together in intention, that Matthew verse about denying yourself, but also John 10:10, Jesus also says, I've come to give you life and life to the full. It's not just to deny yourself, but why to deny yourself. That's actually how you'll find the fullness of life, is in this place that we've decided to use these words of life-giving family. And these words are together, that we'd want to be a place that isn't life-taking family. Yeah? That's actually expressing this verse about John 10:10, that we are life-giving family, that we, the way that we interact with one another, the way we contribute to one another, we're actually giving life to one another. And those words hopefully exist together also, that we want to be the place where the world would see that there is life. We would want to understand that we give and that we are family. I've died. My machine's not working. Hey, there we go. And this is what it looks like. The big word contributing, contribute. What is it? It's sharing. It's spending time together. It's a word you probably, an older word that got used around churches, fellowship. We might even use it sometimes when we go at the end of a service, go out there and what do? Fellowship. We'll go out there, let's do some fellowship. Yeah. When we use that word, so often we just think of hanging out, spend a little bit of time together and not do anything necessarily spiritual. But I think this is who we are as church can be put under this banner of fellowship, contribute. It's actually contributing to one another, that we would give of ourselves, that we would deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow. It isn't us sitting in a room and looking at the front at me, but it is the way that we interact with one another. So just for a second, look around. Go on, you can move in your seats a bit. Look at the people around you. Look at their faces, look at their eyes. There's some wonderful, beautiful human beings around here. The way that you guys interact with one another is what church is. It's partly this. But from the world's perspective, the way that you interact with one another is actually the way the world sees God. Fellowship's not just a hanging out, but Acts 4 suggests it's like this. Well, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money from their sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. We proclaim Jesus by the way that we live together. We do this together. Because I can talk. I can talk to someone, like I said, about the resurrection of Jesus and how he's had an effect on my life. I can talk about forgiveness. I can talk about that everyone's included and that God is love. But that's just talk. I have to do this with someone. Can't be alone. Because if I show forgiveness to the people around me when I feel hurt, because I'm going to be hurt by you. Because I'm hurt in my own family. People I really, really, really do love. Did I just say that? Not you? It's not what I meant. But I'm just meaning I choose to be in my family in some way, and I love them, and I'm hurt by them. Yeah, and I know daily I've probably hurt someone in my family. I'm pretty good at that. Yeah. I can only show forgiveness because of my interactions with people. That's how I proclaim the good news. That God is a forgiving God, is I can show that in the way I interact with you. This is how I can proclaim the good news in this idea of unity. Again, a bit of a foreign word in our culture. Because now if someone does something wrong in our culture, or they're a little bit hard to get along with, or they don't quite fit into our mold, what happens? Yeah. Don't need that negativity in your life. Yeah, you do you. They're just bringing you down. That's negativity into your life. Don't let that exist in your life. Don't let negativity exist in your life. Definitely something I hear all the time. Or they're cancelled, or they're defriended. Yeah. Not at the heart of who God is. It's unity. John 17. Love John 17. It's a prayer Jesus prayed for his disciples, but also for us. If you get a chance to look at this, I want you to have a look at it, because it's Jesus' actual words in prayer to his Father about us. And he said for us not to live, to live in the world, but not of the world. He wanted us to be in the world, but not of the world. But he also said this, I have given them the glory that you gave me, so that they may be the one, be one as we are one. I in them, you in me, so that we may be brought to complete unity. Oh. Feels like it could be a rap, hip-hop. Yeah? Maybe mumble rap, because it's me again. It just keeps rhyming me. So, not that clever. I am them, you in me, so that we can maybe brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me, and I have loved them, even as you have loved me. This unity that we show, again, the world will know that you sent me and loved them as you loved me. How? By this unity. And unity doesn't mean that we don't have disagreements. Unity means that we're committed to seeing this through together, that we're committed to being that representative of Jesus in this world, that the way that we interact together, the way that we contribute to one another, the way that we give of ourselves is actually the way others will see God. Got a couple of stories just to finish. One of these is by a guy by the name of Francis Chan, pastor, talked about a few people from some gangs had come Christians in his church through some outreach, and they'd decided to give up that life and commit themselves to Jesus. And they saw some parallels in there, and they saw they wanted to get baptized because it was almost being like jumped into the gang. Yeah? And so they got baptized, and they loved that moment of being able to say yes to the people around them and the people they used to be in their lives. I belong to Jesus now, not to a gang, but to Jesus. But one of them he had a good relationship with, and after about 6 months, he started coming less to the service, and Francis caught up with him and said, what's going on? He said, oh man, when I committed myself to you guys, when I got baptized, I thought it was going to be this family thing. But we just do Sundays for a couple of hours and Wednesday night. Wow. The gang, well, they had my back all the time. He said, oh, I'm confused. I must have got this wrong. And Francis Chan goes, no, you've actually got something right. How can it be that a gang is showing a fellowship better than the church had at that time? That's what Francis thought to himself. I think that's something we need to think about. Because I know for me personally, that's not actually necessarily my experience. I was introduced to the idea of church by mates that I went to school with at Padre. Occasionally got invited to something that youth was, and I reckon occasionally I showed up before I went to England, and really didn't have necessarily any effect on me. But when I came back after being away for 18 months, And I got invited for the first thing my mate Scott invited me to was a working bee. I hadn't anything really to do with church. And definitely he knew in some of the correspondence from me that I was nowhere near the idea of following God or had any sort of idea. But the first thing he invited me to was, oh, there's a working bee. And guess what? I was like, yeah, awesome. Went there and cleaned out gutters and threw stuff at people off the roof. And they generally, I realized these people accepted me. Yeah. I thought it might have been, you know, those weird goody two shoe people, I don't know. But they seemed to, they were okay with some weird random guy with long hair throwing stuff at them. That's weird, wasn't it? Let's not get sidetracked, but with piercings everywhere. But from that moment, I kept getting invited to stuff and I kept showing up and kept telling Scott that I don't really believe in God, but I kept showing up. I kept being, and I soon become embraced into a community. And when I made a decision of wanting to have what they had, it was what I saw in them, that they had a hope that there was something about this world that was different. And when I started to live that out, I got drawn more and more into an idea of a family. I felt like I didn't have family. And I found it because people were willing to show arms out. You're mine, I'm yours. We do this together. They weren't perfect, as I wasn't. You know, they didn't get that all right. But they sure were committed to being about people and love. I'm going to get the guys, musicians back. We're going to spend some time just in worship and just this opportunity for us to be thinking. You know, Kat gave us some ideas about what it looks like for us as a community to live this out, to contribute to one another. I really want you to be thinking as you sing and as you speak to God, let God speak to you. Let this be a conversation, a real relationship. You speak to Him, let Him speak to you. Where is it that you're getting pulled into? What is God asking you to give? Not so that you can be taken from, but so that you can belong and that you can show the hope of the world to this world. Where is it that you can? Maybe it's something really small, like willingness to forgive others. Maybe it's something really practical. Actually, I'm going to ask Hannah to, in a few songs, I'm going to ask Hannah to come down and you can have some conversations with Hannah. Maybe it's as simple as being a part of the choir. But maybe there's other things that you feel like God is saying to you, how can I give of myself to the people so that I might find all that is there, find the fullness of life? Let me pray. Lord God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this church. Thank you for your love and mercy and grace and forgiveness. Let us be people in the way that we treat one another, where we can show our gratitude to you for the way that we love one another. We'll give you this time now, God. As we stand, please stand. As we give you this time, may you speak. Show us how we can live our lives to the fullest.